good to be here with you all, and it's good to see everyone here and be able to worship God with you all. I'd like to thank you for praying for my dad and my brother as they were gone, and I'd like to tell you that there were no baptisms this time, but there was a congregation that was quite liberal, and they are now on their way to getting back to the path that God has set out for them. So praise God for that. Tonight we're going to be talking about influence. And influence is a very important thing and a very important part of a Christian's life. Everything we do and everything that anything does has an influence on someone or something. And when we say influence, what we mean by is, as Webster says it, the capacity or power of persons or things to be a compelling force on or produce effects on the actions, behavior, or opinions of others. I have a short story I'd like to read to you real quick. A market research interviewer was stopping people in the grocery store after they picked up their bread. One fellow picked up a loaf of Wonder Bread, and the man asked him, "Sir, would you be willing to answer a couple of questions about your choice of bread?" The man responded, "Yes, I'd be happy to." "Fine," the man said. "The question I'd like to ask you is this. Do you feel that your choice of bread has been at all influenced by their advertising program?" The fellow looked shocked and said, "Of course not. I'm not influenced by that sort of thing at all." "Well then," he said, "could you tell me just why you did choose Wonder Bread instead of these other breads?" And he said, "Of course I can. Because it builds bodies in 8 ways." No matter what we think, we are influenced by the things that are around us. The reason that I chose to speak on influence was because a brother within the institutional church at Oak Grove has been going to Oak Grove School District, and he is in my grade for the past 10 years. And he has this attitude of shoving things down people's throats until they listen to him, but it turns out that they won't listen to him at all because of his attitude and how he works, and because of his pride and his sarcastic attitude, that I cannot do anything within my work because I can't speak to those people because they hear Church of Christ and they immediately think of that person. They don't differentiate between liberal or conservative. And so influence is a very important thing. And influence has a profound effect on us, whether it be from the media, our entertainment, or our leaders, or just from our friends. As we remember in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." However, this lesson is going to be focused more on not the influence of things upon us, but our influence upon others. The first point that I'd like us to look at is good influence. It's something that we should all aim for and something that we should all be striving for, to have good influence upon others. Let's look at some examples in the Bible of good influences that we see in others within the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians, if you'd like to turn with me there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10. "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from the idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." These Thessalonians had been spread out, their word, throughout all of Macedonia and Achaia. Why? Because they were good influences upon all those people that were in that land. And they had done that because they had become imitators of the people that had taught them, who they had become imitators of Christ. It is by us doing Christ's will that we become good influences and the word can be spread by our model or example. In Esther chapter 2, you remember the story of Esther and how she had become the queen to Xerxes. And there's a certain verse in Esther chapter 2, and it's in verse 15. I'm in Ezra. Sorry, Esther chapter 2 and verse 15. Now in the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the son of the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, came to go to the king. She did not request anything except that Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the women, advised. And Esther found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. Because of what she did, she had gotten favor within the eyes of all those people that were around her. And later on, we see that she saved her own people because of her influence upon Xerxes. This was a good influence that Esther had on all the people, a good enough influence to save a whole people. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, we see one more example. These are the requirements of how an overseer or an elder is to have to be able to become an elder. And he must have a good reputation with all those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Elders must be able to have a good reputation with all those that he is around, so that he will not be able to fall into the snare of the devil. They are to be of, as the New King James Version reads, a good report. Now we're going to be talking about ways that we can be a good influence. The obvious ways is by our attitudes. Are we kind? Are we loving? Are we humble? We can read of some of these things in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. By these things, we are becoming more like Christ and more like God so that we can have a good influence upon those that we are around. Some of the more specific ways that we can be a good influence on people. One is through prayer. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, he instructs all the men to pray everywhere, no matter where they are. 1 Peter 2 and verse 8. Therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Whenever we lived in St. James, we make it a habit of ours, because we are commanded to, as a family, to pray before we eat. And so we were doing just that as we were in Pizza Hut one day in St. James. And so as we were praying, once we had finished, and once we had about finished our meal, a woman came up that we didn't know at all. And she came up and she wrote on the back of one of those coloring pages that you see at Pizza Hut that are on the walls. And on the back of it, it said, "It is so encouraging to see a family be able to pray together. I used to pray with my grandparents whenever I was staying with them. And my grandparents would make me pray, but Now that I see a family praying together, it encourages me to pray more also. Whenever we do things that people know are within accordance to God's law, one of which being prayer, people are going to be... Well, that's better. People are going to see that as a good example, and they are going to be able to have... We are going to be able to have a better influence upon them. I didn't even know that was there. Another way that we can be a good influence is by being at services. You know the verse in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, that we're stirring one another up to love and good works by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. And the way that we are stirring up one another is because of our influence. People know that we're Christians, and they see the importance of us going to services. We have a better influence on them so that they will be able to go to services more often. And that someday, maybe they too may become Christians and be at services with you as well. And to cap all off the ways of being a good influence, we must serve God faithfully. You remember in Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must be good influences because we are serving God. You remember also in Galatians 2 and verse 20, if you'd like to turn over there with me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Because Christ is living in us and we are serving God faithfully, we are going to be able to be good influences on the people around us. And as good influences, we can become better workers within the body. By our actions and by what we say, people should be easily able to see that we are of the Lord and we are wanting purely and sincerely to serve God. As we'll look at later on in Matthew chapter 5, we are shining lights, so let us be beacons to others. And now let us look at some bad influences that we see within the Bible. If you turn over to 1 Kings with me, 1 Kings chapter 11, and we'll be looking at verse 4. 1 Kings 11 and verse 4. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away from after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. The influence that was on him because of all of his wives that he had was influencing him to turn his heart away from God. Because all these women had been wanting temples just like the temple that he had built for his God. They wanted temples just like that for their idols so that they could be able to worship in those as well. And after a while, he eventually as well worshipped within those temples for idols. It is by influence that we can be able to turn people's hearts away from God. We also see in Judges chapter 16. Judges 16, and we won't read the whole section here, but we see specifically in verse 18. Let's go back to verse 16. It came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed, her and him being Delilah and Samson, was annoyed to death. Verse 17, so he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, a razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. Samson had fallen in love with this woman named Delilah. And because of that love, if you even can consider if it was love or not, you can't tell. But because of the influence that Delilah had on Samson, he had also turned his heart away from God and told Delilah his secret as to how he gets his strength. And so, God turned away from Samson as well. Let's turn over to the New Testament now, and we see in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. Because of false prophets, if we are being false prophets or false teachers, we are having a bad influence upon people because we can turn people's hearts away from God. They led these others to even deny their own master and to deny Christ because of their bad influence. And finally, for examples, we see in 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not even exist among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled and I am with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Even people in the church can turn our hearts away from God. It seems that it's becoming more and more of a thing that people are gaining reputation and gaining influence, and then because of their attitudes and their bad influence, they completely ruin the church, and they rip that church apart. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It only takes one bad apple to completely ruin the whole basket. We need to remember that just as it happened in here, that sexual immorality had come into the church here, we cannot let any bad influence come into the church today. So what are some ways that we can be a bad influence? Once again, it is by our attitudes. Are we always acting negative? so that we're always thinking on the pessimistic side instead of the optimistic side? Are we always thinking of what thing bad could happen instead of what good can happen? Are we too critical? Are we always thinking about the bad things in people and not thinking about the loving things in those people and trying to build that up so that those people can be able to remove those things that are evil within their lives? Are we arrogant? You remember in Proverbs 16 and verse 18, pride comes before the fall. It is pride that will either bring forth our fall, or it will bring our fall, or it can bring down their fall as well because of our bad influence in our attitude of being arrogant. Are we lewd? Are we always thinking, us guys, are we always thinking about something that is inappropriate? Are we looking at people and thinking immodest things toward them? I know it's in high school today because I'm in high school right now, but lewdness is rampant in America. All the guys are always thinking about what they can get. Is that our attitude of lewdness? Are we too demanding? Are we always trying to get people to believe in us, but then we keep on shoving it down their throats and we can't have any influence on them whatsoever? Are we being so demanding that we have no influence on them at all anymore because of our attitude of being too demanding? A big one, our speech. Are we being too critical in our speech? Are we always telling people what they're doing wrong and not telling people what they're doing right? Are we using filthy language? Are we using euphemisms? And are we using innuendos? And are we using curse words even to get our point across? Are we using filthy language and not using the language that God would want us to use? Are we using dirty or off-color jokes? Are we using jokes that are going to be able to demean someone? Are we using jokes that are going to be able to bring about that lewdness in our attitude? Are we using any of these things? Look over in James chapter 1, looking at our speech. James chapter 1 and verse 26 is what we're going to be looking at. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. If we can't bridle our tongue and if we can't control what we say, we are not only condemning ourselves, but we are also condemning others because of our bad influence. They look at us and they look up to us as Christians and they see us as having bad speech and they think that it's all right for them to have bad speech as well. Are we being a bad influence by our entertainment? I'm glad that our family has TV Guardian. It's a thing that takes out any bad language whatsoever. And I hope that we get a new DVD player that takes out all violence, language, and any nudity or sexual scene. Because there's so many movies out there that can influence others. We can influence the cashier register at the movie rental place, or we can influence the cash register at Walmart. They see what we're buying. And what if we were just about to try to have a study with them? What if someone else in the world that is a Christian is trying to have a study with that person, and they see a Christian buying those type of movies, buying movies that have language, buying movies that have nudity? I'm tired of hearing people say, I love the movie 300, and yet it has language, it has violence, it has, okay, I'm going to use a high school term here, but it has uber amounts of nudity. And I'm tired of hearing people say that this is the greatest movie ever. Christians are saying that. And what am I supposed to think of them? How is that influencing the people around them whenever they're watching these movies? Whenever they're listening to music with someone in the shotgun with them, and they're listening to music like rap that has cuss words galore and it has sexually stimulating words in it that are going to change someone's attitude toward you. What are you doing with your entertainment that is going to change someone's influence so that you can't be able to work with that person because they think that it's all right to see and listen to those things? Where we go? Are we sitting at the bars and our excuse is, well, there was someone in there that we were trying to convert. Is there any other place that you could have talked to them with? Are we sitting at the bars and are we at parties that are going to be able to have a bad influence on that person so that we can't be able to bring those people to the Lord? Where we go can be a bad influence on for us. Let's look over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 8. We'll be looking verses 7 through 15. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol, until now eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food will not condemn us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you, who have knowledge, dining in an idol's temple, where we go, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died, and so by sinning against the brother, and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. It is by our actions and by what we do, granted that this is speaking about something that is a matter of the conscience, but by what we do, people can see us as Christians, and maybe some people see us as stronger Christians than others. And our influence may be ruined by what we're doing and what we are saying. Our bad influence can completely ruin what we do in the body. By our actions and by what we say, people should be able to see that we are of Christ. And we should not be putting ourselves in any situation that's going to hurt our relationship with God, first of all, and it's going to hurt anyone else's ability to come to Christ. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, for our final point, let's look at some reasons why we need to have a good influence. Please turn over to Proverbs with me. Proverbs 22. And verse 1. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. A reason that we need to be a good influence is because God wishes us to be a good influence. God wishes us to have a good reputation with people because it is more desired than silver or than gold. But by us having a good influence, we cannot be conforming ourselves to have people look upon us well. You remember in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, a verse that we talked about in a couple of lessons ago with myself. But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. We cannot conform ourselves to what other people think to have a good influence, but we must be transformed in our mind to Christ. And that is how we can be a good influence. Because God desires us to have that influence. Another reason, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, we're reading verses 7 through 10. Galatians 5, 7 through 10. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he may be. So a reason why we need to be a good influence is so that we are not condemned for being a bad influence. This man had in some way hindered them, those people in Galatia, from obeying the truth because of his persuasion, because of his bad influence. And so, we need to be a good influence so that we are not condemned on the day of judgment for being a bad influence. And the final reason is Matthew chapter 5. Everyone remembers this verse very well. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by God. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glory your Father who is in heaven. We need to be good influences because it is an effective way in helping others come to God, because we are the salt of the earth. A reference in Matthew 7, in verse 13 through 14, you remember the passage that says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. There will be few who find it. There's going to be many souls who don't make it to heaven. And it's because of their souls that we need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be a city set on a hill that can't be hidden. We need to be a good influence on others. In Titus chapter 2, in verse 10. Titus 2, and verse 10. It reads, not pilfering. Well, let's back up to verse 9. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. We are to be a good influence so that we can adorn ourselves, make the Word of God attractive to all who are around us, so that even those bond slaves could be able to effectively help their masters come to God. Our good influence can affect others to be able to come to Christ. And that is why we need to be a good influence. We are an influential people because we claim to be Christians. In Galatians 6 and verse 14, I hope not to boast in anything, but to boast in Christ Jesus who saved us. It is because we boast in Christ that we are more influential than any others. Because people look up to us as good and solemn people. And how are people going to view us? We may be the only Bible that anyone ever reads. How are people going to view us? The world's Bible is what we just sang. Number 460. We are the only Bible that the careless world will read. However, if we show that good example, if we are good influences upon the world, maybe the person that is reading us as the Bible can be able to someday open up their own pages of the Bible and be able to be influenced enough to come to Christ. If we are good influences, we can be able to spread the word without bounds. If there's anyone here who feels that they have not been a good influence on the people that are around them, and they feel that they need to repent of that, and you all wish to come forward and be able to have God forgive you of that thing. Or if you'd like to just do that at your seat, and remember that you are the salt of the earth. We ask you to do that. And if there's anyone here who has not obeyed the gospel and wishes to come forward, we ask you to do that and be baptized as we stand and as we sing.
Would you